With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Allie, I'm not going to lie. These shoes might be some of my favorites I've seen in a while.
I need you to get closer to the mic because people want to hear what you have to say. And I do like those.
My bad. I said you're, I like these.
You're still far away, big guy.
Oh, my God. I said I like those.
Oh, wow.
I like these a lot. And I think these are a sleeper colorway.
For all the white and greens.
Okay, actually, though, I feel like New Balance has put that colorway back on the map.
Oh, give credit to New Balance. We're Nike guys, but I have more New Balances back there that are sleepers that I'm like, dog, these things are fire. Whoever is in charge of the head of New Balance, like the new revamping, needs a raise.
It's somebody from Nike.
He's not from Nike. He's actually on my flight almost every week. I'll leave his name out of it. But he flies to Boston every week, the same time I fly to Atlanta. So he's like, yo, man, what do you need? I was like, yeah, I'm a Nike. He goes, man, listen, try some of these on. I got a pair. I said, yo, these shits is cracking.
Edit.
No, James Worthy. James Worthy is a New Balance guy, and he rolls into the studio for every show now with a new pair of New Balance kicks. I mean, I wore New Balance in college my first 2 years.
New Balance right now is better than Adidas. And Puma. And
truth or trash?
For sure.
Okay, Rich is very uncomfortable with this conversation. However, before we dive in, welcome to another edition of Roach. Oh, Channing is so boring. It's just Sea Fry today.
I know.
Richard and Allie.
I was going to put a like Heart in Hollywood or something like that, but it just didn't come to me.
I thought you were going to say something else. I just opened up my cellular device and I came across from Complex on Instagram. Having a sister can boost your mental health and self-esteem. I know the two of you do not have sisters, but I do.
Oh, shout out, Sister Clifton.
Sister Clifton. All right. Should we just dive right in? You're welcome. To the latest. Yeah. Were you guys awake?
No.
No. Okay. I was sitting on the 10. All of a sudden, traffic across all six lanes stopped at 11:24 p.m. coming back from the Laker game last night. And I saw the tweet that left everyone hanging, the Woj bomb, as everyone was freaking out because he didn't give the details nonetheless. But for those that are just joining and maybe haven't had a chance to catch up on the latest with James Harden, the saga is over, at least for now. Anyways, the 10-time All-Star, he's a 10-time All-Star. He was traded from the Sixers to the Clippers, along with PJ Tucker in exchange for Nick Batum, Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, and draft picks. So I want your guys' reaction in the letter grade that you guys would give for both squads now.
Factor.
Shout out, Factor.
Delicious. First of all,
you know what's wild about that?
I got a call.
I literally just had one.
Shout out, Factor.
Not even joking. Anyway,
I'm telling you, they're delicious.
Well done. Mm.
When I was awake, I got a text asking me if I could work today to come in and talk about this. Normally I would.
That was a hell no.
Well, it was a hell no, but normally it's a hell yes. I just had a great excuse. It's, you know, Halloween parade time. So I was like, ooh, sorry, guys. Can't, you know, I've already committed. But letter grade of the trade, they had to get him out of there in Philly. They had to. The market was trash. Right. It was not what it should have been. And it was just going to add more drama. They couldn't focus on. Did they get enough back? No, they didn't get enough back. Are they hoping it's addition by subtraction? Yes, that's what they're hoping for. And their team is good. Tyrese Maxey looks like he's going to be an All-Star. So they're like, OK, we got it. You know, Joel's not out here by himself.
I didn't think it would happen because that's a lot of guys who do the same thing. And for the Clippers, Russell needs the ball. James needs the ball. Kawhi definitely needs the ball. PG needs the ball. But I think they're like, well, let's just stack a bunch of guys. And if somebody gets hurt, we still got three. If two people get hurt, we still got two. And I think for them, there was a logjam. They have nothing but, other than Big Z, they got nothing but like 6-7 wingmen who like play three or four different positions. So I think, you know, bringing in a guard who can shoot, obviously spacing and shooting is great. Good luck defending them. You know, as much as we talk about Phoenix, the Clippers are like, I mean,
the Clippers are, the Clippers to me, if healthy, are better than Phoenix, if healthy. That's to me. Yeah. If healthy,
I agree. If healthy, Clippers. But that's the biggest.
It's a big if for both teams. When you look at how much time both team stars, it's not as bad. But that group trio is probably the second most. If you're talking about missing games of like a quote unquote big two or a big three, the Phoenix, Devin Booker's been primarily healthy, but Bradley Beal's missed a ton of time. You know, Devin Booker. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying, like, yes, if healthy, the Clippers are a better team. Like they have like big Zoo versus Nurkic. I'm sorry. I'm taking big Zoo. Yeah, right. All day. So it's just like, you look at that and then the versatility that their team has is in the problems that they would cause for him in a pick and roll.
Mm-mm. What's the number one job priority for T'Lo?
Oh, emotional
personalities.
Yeah, emotional control. And the one thing that I think there's not a person that's ever been coached by T. Lou that wouldn't say if he can't handle it, no one can, from a personality standpoint, because he's honest, he's real, he has an approach. You know, he's like, look man, he was saying this about some guys last season when we talked to him. He's like, I brought him in the office. I'm like, we're gonna play three of you. Whichever two of you play better in the first half, they're probably going to get the minutes in the second. Right? Like, he was just like, hey, look, man, you recognize I could either just pick two and go with that until that rotation stops, or I can figure out a way if you guys are committed to it. And now all three guys are trying to go out there and ball in the first half. They're playing defense. They're trying to get those second half minutes. Right? And some there might be matchups. Not some there might be that. But imagine the realness of a coach of like, it ain't just shots. I'm judging you on defense. I'm judging you on rebounding. I'm judging on you. Are you doing the schemes that we're supposed to? What's the plus minus and feel? I'd much rather have a coach come to me and say that than, you know, the Lakers are dealing with that. They're trying to play 9-10 and some guys need to get rhythm. Some guys didn't play in the preseason. Some guys, you know, are new to the team. So it's like all of this up. They're managing LeBron's men. All of a sudden, you got 9-10 guys that you're trying to manage. And you're not even adding personalities in there. You know, the Clippers, you got 7-8 guys, and you're managing huge personalities. Maybe not Kawhi, maybe not Paul George as much as Russ, you know. But we all know that Kawhi, the rumor is Kawhi runs the franchise and can do what he chooses. That's part of a personality. It might not be James Harden partying in strip clubs, but that's something that you have to manage with Kawhi.
Yeah, defensively, that team is going to be a monster, right? I think adding P.J. Tucker, I think, was pretty big.
Adding P.J. Tucker, my God.
But I mean, but here's the thing. He doesn't mind, right? He doesn't mind doing conditioning drills and playing just defense and maybe getting a shot up. So, like, what is that, like, the substitution patterns for that are going to be crazy. And then what plays do you run? Do you just run a 1-2, 1-4, 1-3, 1-5 screen and roll, and then whoever has a better matchup just go? I don't know what that flow looks like. But what does that flow look like, Richard? We haven't seen anybody be successful with that since, I guess, Brooklyn was a little bit.
Yeah, Brooklyn. That's what I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and people forget Brooklyn had Joe Harris. Brooklyn had other shooters. They didn't have any bigs, because they had to get rid of they had Claxton, but he wasn't even this version of Claxton yet. I think he was like a rookie second year. They had to get rid of Jared Allen, so it was like he's Claxton, but like a year or two ago, it's like potential. Now I see it as Brooklyn. He's running the show. Russell runs the second team, can play with the first team, but Russ, in my opinion, is most likely the odd man out to a certain degree, right? You know, if you need spacing, shooting, playmaking, James is better. At this point in time in their career, we're not talking about all time. At this point in time in their career, James is better from a playmaking standpoint. He just led the league in assists on a team that finished third in the Eastern Conference.
Realistically, how long do you think it's going to take?
All year.
How long are you going to give them until you can fully assess and judge?
Honestly, all year. Because
really?
They are one injury away from that. Like, that is a bridge built on toothpicks, right? And, like, it's just a truth. And it's like, does James say, you know what? I don't want this. I don't like this. Does James go, are you going to pay him? PJ Tucker is older. Is Kawhi healthy? Is PG healthy? Is Russ going to buy in? Right? Trey Mann is a young man who's wants to establish himself. Is he just going to play defense and roam around and not touch a basketball? Is Zoo going to touch a basketball? Like, they have so many questions. I think they're one of the most interesting teams, but I also don't think that T. Lou is going to put their best stuff out there until the last 25 games of the year.
It's all predicated on how many games they can string together. That's been the biggest Clipper issue. If they can string together 20, 25 games and know who they are when they're at that, when they're that team, right? If it's the one or two guys are missing games and one guy missing game, then you mix in, you know, someone tweaks an ankle and they miss 2 weeks and now you're just constantly just treading water. Then you get deep in the 50, 60 games. And at that point in time, you're trying to get ready for the postseason. So you're not trying to push guys through things. You want to be healthy then. So all of a sudden you look at the season and you don't know who you are. Remember when the Golden State Warriors won that championship? Like the first, when they got Klay back and all that stuff, even Klay wasn't that dude. The first, right around January 1, they were the number one seed. They were cruising. It was them and Phoenix. They were cruising. Then Steph got hurt, Draymond got hurt, and they kind of stumbled into the postseason. And they're like, well, how do you know you guys are going to be able to put it together? It's like, because we did it before. We know who we are when we had 25, 30 straight games. We know who we are. We're one of the best teams in this league. That confidence carries over when they were got into the postseason and they're like, okay, we're healthy now. Remember Steph came off the bench, right? Remember Steph came because he was just coming back. And they're like, boom, good. We're off and running again. So I think as long as the Clippers can put together a stretch of 30 games, 25 games where they're primarily healthy and they know who they are, what their plays, what their tempo is, but that hasn't been the case for the Clippers the last 2 or 3 years. They haven't been able to string together that many games.
Not to us. Yeah, that and, you know, there's a lot of temperament.
A lot. Yeah. And then you got personalities.
Right? Okay, so, okay with that. Yep.
And I'll just move on. I think Philly, I give them an A+.
Okay, so I was going to say, letter grade you give the Clippers real quick. Letter grade?
A.
C+.
A C+? No. I'm saying I give them an A because to me, this was they added a missing piece. They got better. So to me, that's an A for what they lost, for what they got. Now, personality, that's one thing.
You lose four guys and get back.
You get P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is a huge
piece. P.J. Tucker is interesting, yeah.
He is a huge fucking piece because he's also, he has the personality in the locker room. Everyone loves P.J. But P.J.'s also real and will have hard conversations and make shit uncomfortable for people that don't want to fucking address things. He'll do it on the court in a very respectful, competitive way. So adding a guy like that on your team.
Why would you be surprised if they play him at the five sometimes?
Yeah. Against the Golden State Warriors, why wouldn't you?
Dude, if you really think, let's go down the line. I'm not worried about Portland. Sacramento's been playing great. I'll take my chances with PJ on Sabonis for what it is.
Yeah.
Then it go the Lakers. I mean, no one's really stopping AD other than AD. So, like, I'll take my chances there. And then you switch with PG, Kawhi, Zoo. So that's four bodies on one AD. Then you go to Phoenix. I'm taking PJ on Nurk, right? Now, obviously, you got to throw 5, 6 different bodies. I'm just saying.
No, you're saying Nurk, like, PJ is going to be able to be a Swiss Army knife for them. He's going to be allowed them to play the small ball five. Like, he's going to allow a lot of things. That's the part that I he's the one that makes the trade, not just a James Harden and you lose a bunch of people.
Channing, I also feel like you're talking yourself up from a C to maybe a B then for the Clippers.
Kind of, yeah. I was telling myself a B.
So then let's transition to, because you were going there and I was ready to go there too, with the Sixers. You give them an A? A plus?
A plus. A plus.
Because of what it sets up in the future, possibly?
Yep. So you, two things. You reward your homegrown talent, right? Mm-hmm. You move guys that don't want to be there. And I don't know if PJ was there, but obviously PJ's James Harden's boy. You remove them and you allow space for Joel Embiid. You say, Joel, we not only brought in vets that are going to complement you, I think they make another move, personally. They're a little log jam at the three. You have, you know, Tobias. You have Robert Covington. What, you have Batum. You have
Chicago's ready for a yard sale.
How do you have a team meeting after the first game? Come on, Doc. Come on, man.
What would you guys have done had you guys had a team meeting?
Get the fuck out of here.
In my 17 years, I probably had 5 team meetings.
We have more than that.
Well, you were with some serious shit.
Did any come after game one of the season?
No.
I started off 0-for. Like, we were with the Nets. We started off like 0-for 6. Same with Utah. There were no team meetings because collectively we were all in it and pushing the same direction. So it was like, hey, we suck, but everybody, as long as we keep playing hard, we're cool. So there's no need for team meetings. There was no need. Like, you knew you weren't going to be that good. As long as everyone was locked in and playing hard, okay, we understand what this is. But like a team that has talent and has all-stars and Zach LaVine and all these dudes, that means that to me, hopefully they get that shit figured out.
Well, my question is, let's say it is Chicago. I don't know if Tyrese Maxey, Zach LaVine, Tobias Harris, whoever starts at the four for them, and Joel Embiid. Like, what is – I don't know.
I was talking about the Clippers going and getting
DeRozan?
No, the big fella. DeRozan's Vooch. He'll get Vooch.
The Clippers?
I like Z. Here's what I'll say about Z. He's simple. He's physical. He is a far and away better rim runner. Big Vooch, because I play with both of them. Vooch is by far one of the most underrated skilled big men, but he needs touches and spacing. You have to feed him for him to really be effective, right? Yeah. He's not necessarily the best shot blocker, and he plays in a faster pace of game. So when you play in LA, they're going to slow that ball down, and you're going to have to turn into a floor spacer. His best. And I was thinking about, where does Vooch go? I mean, he's almost going to have to go play somewhere where he's the four on offense and the five on defense.
That team just needs to
blow it up. Stop. It's gross.
Go get assets. It's gross. You got some young guys. Like, you can keep some. You can keep, you know, Kobe White. You can keep some of these young dudes. Let DeMar DeRozan go. See if you can get a young piece and some talent for Zach LaVine. Right, go get Scottie Barnes. Just switch it up. Just change. Give yourself 2-3 more years. This ain't it. There's no one or two players.
It's so gross to watch.
There's no one or two players that's going to get them into a contention or into a place that's above a top 5 or 6. They're not going to do anything. There's no move to make them competitive with Boston, Milwaukee. I would say the Knicks or even Cleveland. Though, not saying that they can't beat those teams on any given night, but to say that they're going to have a competitive and, in my opinion, compete, even throw Miami in there. So you're really talking about the peak of what they can do, barring injury, is the 6th seed.
And this is no disrespect to Lonzo Ball, who is a very solid NBA player. But if one player goes down and your team looks like this because you built it around that player, that castle was made on sand.
Missed 2 years, awful. Which should have given you a chance, in my opinion, to at least figure out a way to plug that hole.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's like, think about it. I'm making this up, but like a guy like Drew Holiday, not saying he was going to go there, But you've been like, Drew, would you want to come here and be our starting point guard? If they got Drew Holiday, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, if they play well, they've got defense up top, they got some of this, they got some of this, okay, maybe they can actually creep into that 4-5 spot, right, with Drew. They didn't get that. The Boston Celtics got Drew. So
let's actually stay in the East and go there next, because Channing, if you're not tweeting about the Pacers, you're tweeting about the Boston Celtics.
Hey, yo, I know it's early.
No, Porzingis.
Oh, I didn't know what they. I don't know if it's the clam chowder, the lobster rolls. He's an adult now.
He's the fourth best player. That's what it is. He's
okay,
the
there it is. That's but what he's it is. Everything. I was like, no way, he's going to do that. He's doing all that, and he's crazy engaged defensively. Where we saw glimpses of that in Dallas, where we are like, hey, yo, if he could play like this, and then all of a sudden we are like, nah, he can't do that.
Where Dallas is where you found out he couldn't. Okay, so you figured out early.
He wasn't a number two.
One. No, you figured out he couldn't be a number one. Then you were like, okay, Dallas, can he be a number two? They're like, he can. He's got the talent, but it's just some. You put him on a squad like that where he's the 3-4.
What? It looks ridiculous.
It looks ridiculous. It looks ridiculous. And again, you're talking about, I think on a given night, if you would have done the draft at the start of the season, right? I think Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum all would be above Porzingis as far as like a want for a team. Yep. Right? Like as far as a want for a team. So I think he's an all-star. He's a 20-point a game scorer, all this stuff. But you would have been like, if I could have a champion in Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, or Jason Tatum. So really on a given night, that man's the fourth best player on the floor.
Yeah. Like he makes Al Horford look a lot better.
And he gets the eat off of it. He gets the eat off being the fourth. Because they're so worried about Jason Tatum going for 50. But what, you know, all of these Jaylen Brown going for 35.
Jason and Jaylen are averaging already here, though early, 55 combined. And then obviously you have KP.
Oh, they're going to average that.
How will you guys, what will equate a successful season for the Boston Celtics?
They got to go to the Eastern Conference Finals again.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. There's nothing left.
For them to have they're a championship team. To not have the season be a failure, if they were to say they lost in six to Boston,
Milwaukee.
All right, my mom said they lost to six in Boston. All right, God, I keep saying Milwaukee. Then it's like, you're like, damn, Dame caught fire or something. Okay, cool. Like, you're not going to scrap the team. I'm like, we're going to blow this up. Like, we're talking about Chicago. No, we're going to run it back. That's what we do because they're that talented and they just got to keep pushing. They got rid of Marcus Smart. They'll probably try and re-sign Drew. So.
They can get, I think, one more guy off the bench. I think they're going to be even more disgusting. To me right now, I don't care what Milwaukee is doing, and this is a regular season, I think Boston is the best team in the regular season. The thing that I really appreciate is they got back to where they had success, and I've watched a shitload of Boston Celtics games over the last 3 years. Defensively, they are crazy, crazy active, and they're suffocating. They are suffocating teams. Like, I know the Wizards are hot garbage, but they were even more hot garbage when a team just suffocates you, you know? And they couldn't run plays. Who do you switch? It's Drew, Jason, Jaylen, and Al Horford, who's serviceable, obviously. And then you have Porzingis, who's blocking three shots a game. So it's like, where do you go where you're going to get a mismatch or an opportunity? And that's what is exciting. So,
and Porzingis blocks shots. Porzingis blocks shots. Like Robert Williams. So when you
space the floor better than Robert. So yeah,
he's a role threat. Like he was called the unicorn for a reason. He's just now looking like a unicorn.
Yeah. We've talked several teams and personnel already. So let's go with your sleeper picks for the week. So I want each of you to give a prediction of a player who will go off this week and beat score more than his sleeper prediction. Who will you have your eye on?
Ooh. Well, this one caught me off guard. Pop quiz, hot shot.
I'm going to say, I get that reference.
Yeah.
Trae Young. I usually hate on the Hawks, but after watching some of that game last night, defensively, so they are big and lanky. And to be down 21 and to come back, and Minnesota obviously has their issues, but still the old Hawks team would have lost that game. This new Hawks team is like, let's hunker down defensively. Let's get going. DeJounte Murray is going. I think they believe in Trey. He's going to go off this week. I'm going Trey Young.
I'm going to say Cam Thomas. I don't know if he's going to exceed what his...
He's the biggest anomaly in the NBA right now.
Well, yeah, thank you for doing my homework. It's more of like, I want to see if he can exceed it. We like, if you follow the Nets, you know he can score. He can do this. One of the troubles with him is just like in the past when he wasn't scoring, he didn't rebound, he didn't defend, he didn't do. But boy, when
stop
he gets
sugarcoating it, Richard.
I'm not sugarcoating it. What I'm saying is that he's got to develop into more than just like I'm one of the best scorers in the world, because I think he's starting to establish consistently that his scoring is special and he needs to just be let go. But yeah. There's not many guys ever that do that, and they're just that. I'm not saying that he can't play basketball. He's a basketball player. He understands it, but it's like he's rarely getting you 5, 6, 7 rebounds, 8 rebounds. He's very rarely getting you 5, 6 assists if he only has a 5 for 15 night. So those are the things that help to elevate a level of consistency to his game. Yeah, there's highs, there's lows. So I want to see if he can maintain this, if he can be consistent. And then for the extra credit for all the Nets fans out there, I'll say Mikal Bridges. Mikal was supposed to take over. That was supposed to be his. He's supposed to be an all-star this year, you know. And so for him, like these numbers that Cam is putting up, you know, and Mikal's played well, but it's like those were the numbers you were expecting from Mikal, right? Those type of numbers. So I'm just curious to see how their team consistently figures this out.
Right. I will say what Richard was very nicely trying to say. I think the big stigma is if you look at his record when he scores, other than last night in a blowout, they lose every single one of those games. Right now, that could be on the team, or that could be how it looks, is that he is hijacking the offense. So he'll dribble down, bing, bat, boom, boom. He is I'm not going to say he's an elite scorer. He is an elite talent when it comes to scoring. You cannot deny that. But does his scoring equate to that team winning? That is my biggest question. And you know what? He can score 40, but no one says, did they win or lose? When did he score his 40, right? There's a lot of players that can score 40 when they're like, here, go, we're up by 20, right? But as Richard said, if he scored 20 and had 5 assists, he would be sixth man of the year. If he had 24 and had 4 assists, right? Consistently, right? Can he do that without clearing out the side, right, and just going? Now, it is hard to find a guy who can score like that. It is easy to just give that guy the ball and say, let's go, when everyone else, next time you watch the game, when he gets the ball, watch the activity and movement of the other players. They just watch him shoot. It's like,
Look, in my defense, I did say, I was like, I have not been able to watch them as much. So I'm just saying from my standpoint, I haven't been able to dissect them as much as I would like. That time is coming, you know, I know they lost a tough one. They lost a tough one to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right. Donovan Mitchell hit
one to Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, another tough one. Dallas.
They're losing the teams they're supposed to lose to, though.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So right? You're kind of looking at this. That's why I'm not being critical of them. It's just more of like everyone, I think more people are seeing what he's doing now because it's the start of the season. And it's like, no, there's been signs of this for the last 2 years. And this is why, I think he hasn't really made it to that stardom or that next level yet. And so I'm curious to see if this can continue and he can do other things to maintain, because you're going to have a 2 for 12 night. You're going to have a 5 for 17 night. But if it looks like a minus 17 with 3 rebounds and 1 assist and 2 turnovers, that's tough to be consistent.
Dude.
Good work by the both of you. It's very clear that Channing is returning to work this week. Hang on, let me put a bow on this one, because Road Trippin' Sleeper Picks of the Week are sponsored by Sleeper Fantasy. You can download the Sleeper app and use the promo code Road Trippin' for a deposit match for up to $100. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. All right, having said that, let's go to the West. I do have one quick question. We obviously talked about, Rich, you called Wemby's first game and what we've seen so far of him. But as I'm watching that game, it was going through my mind. Now I understand the caliber of players and who Pop is, but I also want to know, how different is this season, is this coaching year going around for Pop? Like, what's the what's going through his mind when, like, for example, you're watching that first game, right? And Wemby gets in foul trouble. And, like, how is he coaching him different than if it were to be another draft pick, you know, not this generational talent that Victor is?
Well, I think he's had other generational talents. Like, he got dated later.
No, this is not new for him.
But hear me out. This is a new generation. How you could talk to players in 2099 when David got there and he was a four. You can't talk to players the same way that you could back then. You can't talk to the same players like that 10 years ago. It's a different, we know this, and it's not a matter of soft. It's just a matter of, like, how coaching has evolved from the lower ranks, and you have to be able to adjust to it in the higher ranks. I think for him, he said culture. He said before, when he got here, he had David and he had Avery and he had Sean, and these guys were great culture guys. That's who they were. When Tim got here, these guys had already instilled the culture, and Pop added to it. Then when Tony and Manu got there, he had Tim. And so for him, all of the culture that he had and built, he is now reestablishing it. He's establishing some of the younger players as leaders. He's starting to be like, hey, we need to build this culture back up. And it has to be done with the young guys. You can add a veteran guy at some point in time. But even then, you know, veteran players, including myself, have struggled. Myself, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. So it's like they're going to be very cautious about who they bring in until the culture has been established. In my opinion, this is not anything based off of what he's saying, but it's like they're not ready to add veterans to this team. They're probably a year or two away from that, depending on how quickly. If he looks like he's an all-star next year or an all-NBA player next year, best believe that next summer, he's going to be looking at them like, okay, are y'all going to go get me some players to play with? Like, we not, you know, because eventually you can't draft anymore because he's too good. And all of a sudden you're drafting in the 15 spot, in the 16th. And then you're like, well, we got to go spend some money and get players. So I think Pop is just establishing culture. I think that is the difference between the prior years where he had that same core group to where he is now. That was the number one thing that I picked up. He's like, it's up to me, I have to establish it. So that's how he's handling that. So it's not just get back on defense, it's whole package culture.
Yeah, I watched a couple games of them, and he is quick to discipline now early so that they are used to that. And that goes along with what Richard is saying. I forgot who they play. I think the Clippers or somebody. They made a turnover. The guy scored. The guys didn't run back. Timeout, right? Yelling at him as they come to the bench. What is this? Blah, blah, blah. They go back out. They make another turnover. They make another point. Timeout again. Y'all, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, like, those timeouts are not about that game. It's about his level of expectation of how they should play. So they're going to get lumped up early, but I bet a lot of money that they are close to the play-in game by the end of the year. A lot of money. I bet you the first 25 games, they might be 9-16, 8-17. I bet you closer to the beginning of the year, that team is going to probably either bring in a vet to get him close so that he can kind of sniff the playoffs and realize if he's healthy, or they're going to say we need to build more on, like, what we're doing. But I think they're going to – they have pieces. They're just young, dumb pieces that need to
learn. Well, tanking's a tough word, but when the Spurs ended up having the worst record and were the worst team in the NBA, we know that, or I like to believe that Pop, there was a level of happenstance, intention, like, hey, yeah.
We call it talent assessment time.
There's this number one pick that, hey, if we don't play that well, maybe we have a better chance at that guy, right? And so it's like, how much of it was like, you know, Pop is starting to just let the guys play. Let's let these guys play and just play free and give them instruction and teach them how to play basketball, see what they can do, versus we need to win every single game every night. When we were playing, we need to win every single game, every single night. That was the mentality. That's not the mentality that Pop is bringing in teacher mode the last couple of years. What? He's in teacher mode. He's in teacher mode.
And when he gets off that teacher mode, you're going to see a difference in how
and I think you're starting to see, I think he's starting to do that. Now that you have Wemby, it's like, all right, we teach him, but also motherfuckers, how many times I got to fucking tell you? Yeah. Ship your ass down to the fucking G
League. All of them, for him,
he'll say that shit.
For him, he goes, when you have a vet like Tim Duncan, you're only going to play so much. Anyone not named Victor Wembanyama or, you know, Sheldon Johnson, that those positions are up for grabs. So if you hooping, you know, he don't.
Did you say Sheldon?
What did I say? Sheldon Williams?
You said Sheldon Williams.
Johnson. No, Sheldon Johnson.
No.
Keldon.
Oh, crap. What am I? Oh, I'm thinking about Sheldon Williams from Duke.
Yeah, I know you are.
My bad, Keldon.
I wasn't going to tell you. I just wanted to, like, see, Allie's nice. I tried to draft him
on my fantasy league. He is a rebounding animal.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Road Trippin'. The guys, well done on all things NBA currently. Tomorrow, we'll come back with a new episode diving into some truth or trash.